beginning today with Wimbledon tennis.
Kim, my opening serve on the sunny side of sports is Wimbledon tennis. Seven-time champion Roger Federer cruised into the semifinals Wednesday with a straight sets victory over Frenchman Gilles Simon. The final score from the All England Club in London, 6-3, 7-5, and 6-2. The 33-year-old Federer is bidding for his record-extending 18th Grand Slam singles title, the most by a men's player. The Swiss star last won the Wimbledon trophy in 2012 when he beat local favorite Andy Murray of Britain in four sets in the final. Murray bounced back the following year and won the Wimbledon crown. Murray also advanced to the semifinals Wednesday, beating Canada's Vasek Pospisil 6-4, 7-5, and 6-4. The field for the women's semifinals at Wimbledon is set. Top-ranked Serena Williams of the USA will take on Russia's Maria Sharapova in one semifinal, and the other will feature Garbiñe Muguruza of Spain against Agnieszka Radwanska of Poland. Serena Williams is going after her 21st Grand Slam singles title, and history favors the American star ahead of her semifinal against Sharapova. Serena has lost only twice in 19 career matches with Sharapova. Her last win against Sharapova came in the final of this year's Australian Open. Talk to us, Serena.
I love playing Maria, and I think she brings out the best in me, and I feel like I bring out the best in her. I thought we had a wonderful final in Australia. I thought it was very entertaining, and I thought she played really well. And, you know, for me, I don't really feel like I have any pressure going into this match. I feel like, you know, we both actually lost early last year, so we both are just kind of enjoying this moment, and one of us would be in the final.
American tennis star Serena Williams speaking at Wimbledon. If Serena can win her sixth Wimbledon title, she'll hold all four Grand Slam trophies simultaneously and be within one title, the U.S. Open, of a calendar year Grand Slam. The United States is off to a good start in the Gold Cup Regional Football Tournament for teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. Joining us now with more details is the VOA's Toddy Abeje. Sporty greetings, Toddy.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The USA defeated Honduras 2-1 near Dallas, Texas, in a hard-fought Group A opening match. Midfielder Clint Dempsey, who grew up in Texas, scored twice on headers in front of his home state fans. Dempsey's first goal came in the 25th minute and the other in the 64th minute. Dempsey has scored 7 goals in his Gold Cup career, which puts him in fourth place on the all-time list for the U.S. men's national soccer team. Midfielder Carlos Discua scored his first international goal in the 69th minute for Honduras. The USA has won all 13 of its Gold Cup opening matches. U.S. head coach Jurgen Klinsmann says the objective is to win the Gold Cup trophy and qualify for the 2017 FIFA Confederations Cup tournament in Russia.
We are happy to kick off the Gold Cup. We are excited about having a chance to go all the way until the end. And hopefully, you know, our big goal is to win this very difficult competition in order to qualify directly for the Confederations Cup 2017. This is our hope, this is our plan, this is our goal, and the team is very well aware of that.
Coach Klinsmann is also very well aware that the Gold Cup tournament features some very competitive teams.
This region is a very difficult region. It's very different to Europe or even to South America. So every game needs to be played. Every game, you know, starts even. And as I said, you know, a few weeks ago, patience is one keyword. You know, if you're not breaking them down and not opening the account in the first half, you got to stay patient. You got to move the ball around quickly and hopefully it opens up things. And then sooner or later, you get the goal that you need in order to get the 3 points.
After getting 3 points with the win against Honduras, the United States remains a favorite to defend its Gold Cup title. However, the Americans are not the highest-ranked team. If we look at the FIFA rankings at the start of the tournament, Costa Rica is 14th, Mexico is 23rd, and the United States is 27th. In Tuesday's other Group A match, Panama and Haiti drew 1-1 at the same Toyota Stadium, the home of Major League Soccer's FC Dallas Club. It is one of 14 stadiums being used during the Gold Cup. The biggest one is MetLife Stadium near New York City, which has a capacity of almost 83,000. The two semifinal matches will be played July 22nd at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, Georgia, and the Gold Cup final will be played July 26th at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm VOA's Toddy Abeji. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Toddy. Celebrations and parades are taking place here in the United States this week for the World Cup winning U.S. women's national soccer team. The American women were welcomed to downtown Los Angeles by a crowd of several thousand cheering fans at a rally. Veteran striker Abby Wambach joyously lifted the World Cup trophy while leading the roaring crowd in chants of, "I believe that we just won." The U.S. women won their record third World Cup title Sunday in Vancouver, Canada, where they beat defending champion Japan 5-2 in the final. The U.S. team will be touring different parts of the United States on its victory tour. The next stop is New York City on Friday. Our African football guru David Legg has been looking at the recent results in qualifying for the 2016 African Nations Championship, which will be hosted by Rwanda. The qualifying competition is for players based in Africa, and the matches are held on a regional basis. This evening, David turns his attention to the East Zone and a draw in Uganda's capital.
The first result, Uganda 1, Tanzania 1. Boko, after 58 minutes from the penalty spot for the Tanzanians, Kizito equalizing 6 minutes from time. This was a surprise result, Sonny, in the sense that Uganda won the first match in Tanzania 3-0. So I think it was fair to assume that the Ugandans would also win the return match in Kampala, but it was not to be. A much improved performance by the Tanzanians, ending that awful run of six consecutive defeats by their senior national team. Pretty predictable result from Bujumbura, Burundi 2, Djibouti 0. Burundi qualified 4-1 on aggregate. And then I'm afraid more disappointment for all our Kenyan listeners. In Nairobi, it was Kenya 0, Ethiopia 0. Ethiopia win 2-0 on aggregate. And really, the Kenyans must be kicking themselves quite literally, because in each leg, both in Ethiopia and in Kenya, they had a penalty. They failed to convert either. And if they had converted those two penalties, they would have won the tie. Bobby Williamson, the Scottish coach of the Kenyans, I watched his post-match interview in Nairobi, and he just kept shaking his head, and he looked like a man who just couldn't believe what he was seeing. The Kenyans, Sonny, were really woeful when it came to set pieces. They continually over-hit corner kicks, and many of their free kicks lacked real power and accuracy. There's no doubt in my mind, having watched the game, that the Kenyans had ample opportunities to have won the second match and to have won the tie, but they didn't take their chances. And now for the fourth consecutive African Nations Championship qualifying competition, the Kenyans have failed to make it to the finals. On to the South Zone in Moroni, Comores 0, Zimbabwe 0. Zimbabwe win 2-0 on aggregate. But an interesting tale behind this match. Before that game, Zimbabwe held an amazing record of having won every away match in three previous qualifying competitions for CHAN. Truly remarkable performance. Six matches away, six victories. So that run has come to an end, but nevertheless, Zimbabwe will be happy that they're through to the next round. Surprise in Gaborone, Botswana won, Lesotho won. Lesotho win on the away goals. Now, Botswana were the seeded team, and after drawing 0-0 in Lesotho, they must have felt that their chances were good of reaching the first round proper. But it was Lesotho who went ahead 9 minutes from time. Botswana did manage an equalizer, but that second goal that they needed to scrape through proved elusive. In Lusaka, another tingler. Nervous times indeed for the Zambians. Zambia 2, Namibia 1. 3-3 on aggregate. The match went to a penalty shootout, and the Zambians won 6-5. So a real scare there for Zambia, who qualified for the first CHAN in 2009, but did not qualify in 2011 or 2014. In Victoria, I'm afraid, more bad news for Seychelles. Seychelles 0, Mozambique 4. That is 9-1 on aggregate, the Mozambicans winning the first leg 5-1. And by doing this, Sonny, the Mozambicans created not one, but two CHAN records. 9-1 is a record winning margin for a qualifying match, and 4-0 away from home is a record victory margin, the previous one being Zimbabwe winning 3-0 in Mauritius. Talking of Mauritius, they went down 2-0 at home to South Africa. No surprise there. The South Africans were well on top, but it took them until midway through the second half before Masango scored. And a lovely late goal from defender Letla Pika completed a 2-0 victory for the South Africans and 5-0 on aggregate. And finally, in Luanda, Angola 2, Swaziland 0, 4-2 to the Angolans on aggregate. And the star of the Angolans in the second leg was Gelson. He scored in each half. So all those teams drew, Sonny, to the first round proper, and that will be held during October.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Finally, in more African football news, our friend in Lagos, Segun Dot on the spot at Adeyemi, reports former Super Eagles captain Sunday Olise is being seriously considered as Nigeria's next head coach. Segun says Olise could be named as early as Friday to replace the fired Stephen Keshi. The 40-year-old Olise has little managerial experience. Segun says he's been working lately as a sports analyst on the South African satellite TV channel Supersport. Segun adds that Olise has a good rating among the many football lovers in Nigeria, perhaps because of his adjudged good leadership role when he captained the Super Eagles. In Segun's words, he's considered straightforward and capable. We'll stand by to see whether Sunday Olise is the next.